Greetings, Game Pass or Pass subscribers. Corey here. I just wanted to give you a quick little heads up that at the beginning of this episode, we did talk about how we had a text message from a listener about Copilot Gaming and the features that Microsoft are adding. It ended up doubling the length of the episode, and it didn't really have to do with the game. So we're actually going to break that out into a little mini episode, and we're going to talk about that. And just in case you aren't interested in that, it's not going to mess with your watch time and listening time and stuff like that. So be on the lookout for that if you are interested in a couple days, and I'll do another little outro when this episode breaks. But thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy Mullet Mad Jack. Now time for a very 90s mullet thing edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service. Tell you which games to pass to a friend and which games to, punch with your bare fists and then slide into a door and then just pass on by. I'm Corey. I'm joined by the man that probably tried to rock a mullet at some point, Basher.
What? I am a black man. I don't think I can even do a mullet, like, physically speaking.
I said what I said. this is what you can't deny it. I'm sure there's picture evidence of it somewhere.
You know what? The closest thing I have is a rat tail. I did have a rat tail. It was cool.
I think that counts. That's just a mullet with less work. That's really all.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
which I don't blame if anybody like wants a mullet. Like, no, I'd rather have a rat tail. But at the same time, like, I don't know. That was something. Is that a 90s thing, if I remember? Like,
that's definitely a 90s thing. Side note, actually, it wasn't even my hair. It was my mother's hair.
Interesting. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to be longer, and I didn't have a fro at the time. So, Interesting. Buddy, be quiet.
I got nothing. We're here to talk about Mullet Mad Jack, available on Xbox Game Pass. But before that, did you know that you can let us know if you had a rat tail? 574-651-9256. You can text that number, email. You can call that number, text it. You can do whatever you want. I guess that's not true. Like, you can't just call it and then just tell me the Declaration of Independence. And
I mean, maybe they could show up at your job and just do it that way in your server room live.
Exactly. You could. I mean, they probably shouldn't. Yeah, they should. Oh, did I say 651 or 654? 651-925.
I wasn't listening. They can listen to the show.
We had a text message. Should we do the text message now or should we do it after?
No, let's do it now. Everybody expects it at the end. We'll throw them a little curveball. All right.
We're going to talk about Mad Jack first. We're here to talk about Mullet Mad Jack. Here are the details. Mullet Mad Jack is a high-octane action shooter that puts you directly in a classic anime. Pick your favorite weapon and reach the last floor. Beat your best time or try again. Haste makes waste of your enemies. Key features: fast arcade feel of dopamine rush like the old times. A fully animated campaign with old-school anime cutscenes. 50-plus power-ups that change the way you can play the game. You can play the game forever in random levels on Endless Mode, a classic mode with no timer if you want a traditional campaign. Unbox a digital, virtual, big PC game box from the 90s. Relive the bloodshed from the 80s and 90s. This is available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, as well as PC. Does feature crossplay, so your progress would go from console to console, and is actually one of the few. Again, it's available on Xbox One. I see why. It's not exactly pushing it, but that's becoming more of a rarity these days. We got a how long to beat of 3 hours, a main and extras of 4 hours, and a completionist of 9. Mullet Mad Jack. Let's talk about it.
This is a game you picked out. Although I did have it installed and ready to play just because it had the anime aesthetic, and I'm a weeb, so anything anime related. If I see a cartoon pointy chin lady, I'm at least going to download it.
I gotta see what this is about.
You know, you have to inspect this thing here. And to my surprise, like, reading the description, like, I expected more anime. Like,
right,
honestly, like, it's not. That's a weird way to describe it up front. I think like it is 90s anime inspired art style, but it's not. I want to say it's anime feeling though. Like, you know,
right,
like,
yeah, it is not anime. It's yeah. I don't, just because it's a female with large breasts and cartoon does not make it anime, I guess is what I would
right.
say.
Like, it's very bare bones with the anime part. It's more like, I would say, honestly, like Doom or Quake, right?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like something that would come out in the 90s in terms of gameplay, but in terms of aesthetic, for sure. It is far right. more like sprite, you know, sprite shooters, sprite FPSs. And it's far more colorful than stuff like that too. But yeah, no, it's far more akin to a 90s shooter than anything.
So, that said, I mean, you sent me the text message up front, like, download this game, 'cause I don't know if I like it. I don't know how good it is. And that was my feeling on the very first, I would say, minutes. And that sounds like a short time, but the running, the whole point of this game is to complete a run as fast as you can. And the levels are literally 30 seconds long, if not less. So the first minute, I'm like, I'm just clicking things, you know? I'm just sliding my way through, kicking my way through, shooting my way through, and there's no rhyme or reason. But after that minute and a half or so, I'm like, oh, wait, I get to choose my upgrades. Oh, wait, I don't want to just mindlessly click through things. I do want to kind of take half a second to aim and plan out a shot here. Oh, wait, now I'm adding jumps, double jumps, wall running. All right, I'm starting to get the loop now.
Yeah, it's so, and the reason this came up was because I actually had this on my radar when it first came out on Steam, and it came out along with another game, I think, called Celico. It was around the same time, and it might even be the same publisher, which is like a Fear-style shooter, but it's sprite-based and stuff like that. And they had like a combo deal because I really just wanted to play Celico, and this came with it, and I played it a little bit, and I was just like, not really for me. Like you said, like I played it, and I was like, this isn't bad by any means, but like it's just not. My biggest thing was, is like my first run, I got like 30 floors in, you know, like it really wasn't difficult. And so not that it needs to be difficult, but I just kind of, it wasn't really challenging me. And while I was understanding what was going on and stuff, I was like, this is something just feels off here kind of thing. So I eventually just never played it. And then I actually didn't like Celico, so I refunded it. So that's how I was like, I had sort of been exposed to it. I was like, but yeah, since it's on Game Pass, I'll check it out. And since we've discovered that run-based games are the only games that we care about, we had to check it out. So, yeah, I had a similar thing with you getting back.
You should have led with that, by the way, just in the future. Like, just say it's a run-based game, and then I'm in.
Yes. For whatever reason, it is literally becoming the thing. Oh, yeah, I'll check that out. You know? Like, if it could be the dumbest like aesthetic that I think ever, and it's like, oh, it's a run-based game, I'll check that out.
Honestly, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and it's so, yeah, like I'm with you. Like the first time I booted this up again, and I was just like, you know, this is like you said, there is a reason to do it, and I do like this game, but I am not like blown away by it by any means. It's a very cool experience, but even like doing the endless modes and the more difficult modes, it just seems more like an assault on your senses than anything. Like you can get good at it and stuff like that, but it's not exactly deep, is what I'll say.
I mean, that's a good way to put it. It is just an assault on your senses, and I think that's what I like a lot about it. Honestly, it is loud. It's in your face. It is just never stop moving, never stop thinking, why it works for me is it's in such a short burst. You know, like when I think of a game like Doom, where I get the same kind of sensory overload, these, like, as great as the games are, it's that sort of sandbox moment of you're in this for quite a long time, your hands are sweating up by the end, and your adrenaline's pumping. This I get the same thing, but just in shorter burst. And what I like about it is the fact that I can just really just do this for like a few minutes and then get back to what I was doing before. Like it is like really like the perfect kind of bite-sized game for me right now.
Yeah, and it's, I guess we're, I wouldn't quite agree on like the comparison other than like, yeah, it's a short burst, but I'm going to stay with me. I'm going to talk about Wolfenstein, the Old Blood, or no, the New Order.
Is that the girl one or the one before that?
It's the second one, basically. It's not any spinoffs or anything like that.
Gotcha.
And that game had a problem that really drove me nuts, and I feel like this game has it too, and it's feedback. It's feedback to the player. On the easier difficulties, I don't say you can walk through it, but it's pretty hard to die. On the harder difficulties, it's extremely difficult to keep an eye on your health and know if you're being hurt or not. Like, on the harder difficulties, I have definitely failed a run, but I usually don't know that I'm failing the run. It's just like, I happen to, you know, I slide in this thing and I hit some of the acid or whatever and it pops me up and then there's a machine, you know, it's just like, there's no real great indication of when I'm taking damage, where the damage is coming from. And there's also like a weird, I don't say weird, but like interesting maneuvering that you can do of if I go past somebody, does it make sense for me to turn, stop and take that person out? Or should I just keep going? And on the harder difficulties, those guys will keep hitting you. So it's like, well, maybe I should turn around. Maybe I shouldn't. But if I don't, I could die. But if I keep going, I could die. So then it becomes like this assault on, I have to hit everything on screen. And depending on how you're playing it and what weapons and stuff you have, like that can actually be more difficult. So I agree with you in the fact that, like, yeah, it's bite-sized and it's easy to pick up and you can get that adrenaline rush, but it also lacks some of that polish, I feel like, on the harder difficulties. You can still get through it. I'm not saying, like, this is, like, impossible to get through, but I still just feel like it's not nearly as deep. I'm not learning anything about this game that I'm going to apply in a matter that will, like, make me better at the game, if that makes sense. Like, I might get better at it just from learning its quirks, but I'm not learning any skills, if that makes sense.
No, I kind of get what you're saying there. Because I will agree on the depthness of the game. Like, it's not one of those runners where by the end of it, you've learned so much in your runs that there's things to perfect, there's loadouts to really build upon and grow. But because a really great run it makes you feel like by the end you've learned all these things, you put all of them into this final boss and it's all very cathartic. Whereas Mullet Jack is really, by the first 5 to 10 minutes, that's the whole game.
Right.
Like you're not really doing anything new past that point. Like at that point, you're just really just upping the difficulty and upping your skill. Like it just becomes pure twitch shooter at that point. And which is not a bad thing, but again, to your point, it is not very deep at that point.
Right. And I say that as a flaw, but also it's like it can do that because it also doesn't overstay its welcome in that.
Absolutely.
I think the How Long to Beat said 3 hours for the main story and 4 hours for the main and extras. Like, I basically completed all this and almost thousand pointed it in an afternoon, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's actually a plus into it to where it kind of knows that it's basic, you know, and it is more about the experience and the look of it rather than it being a deep game. And that's totally fine. And for that reason, I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. The last boss was cool. There's some bosses in there that were pretty neat. I do like some of the weapons, like more than others kind of thing. So I did find a flow to it. And it also has some, obviously, a lot of quirkiness, but it's like picking up melee weapons and then using a sniper rifle. Like there's a full on point to where the game turns into almost like a, what was the name of that game that when you went to the arcade and had the sniper scope and stuff on it?
You mean like in real life or a video game we played?
Yeah, it was an arcade game. It's like Silent Scope or something like that. Like it clearly pulls from that of just like, hey, there's these buildings out here. You can kind of see through your scope, but then when you press the left trigger, it goes ADS. And it was before ADS was a thing. You know, it was kind of like a big, like, oh man, like it's really cool because you see on screen where you want to look and then you point the gun. And then when you look down the scope, it's actually like a scope. You know, like it's clearly, you know, derived from that, which is somebody who was a person that where arcades still existed then. It was kind of cool to bring that back. So it's almost more of a love letter to a lot of things than like a full-on roguelike experience.
I think it does both pretty well, actually, because like that arcade aspect is definitely there. And I enjoy it quite a bit. And like the fact that it really doesn't overstay its welcome, that's a great way to put it, because I put this game down as fast as I put it up, pick it up. And I say that in a good way, because if I just have 5 minutes or less, like I play this a lot while I'm working from home, like, for example, like in between jobs or whatever, I'm just kind of like, I'm just going to play 3 minutes of Mully Jack and get my Twitch fix and then call it a day, you know, get right back to my regular scheduled program there. So like, that to me goes farther than a lot of these runners that try to do something like this does. Cause a lot of these runners try to be somewhere in the middle where they're trying to give you this depth and feel of like a Hades, where they're introducing these characters, the storyline, etc. But at the same time, like, make it simple enough so we can just jump in and jump out. So it's like off balance there. Whereas, like, I don't even know the story of this game. I, as far as I know, you have to save a princess girl thing or something. She's at the top of the tower. I don't know. And you just kind of click your way through. I mean, for me, that works very well. And I think mostly because it doesn't, you don't have to pay attention to it. Like, and at the higher difficulties, it does get annoying, but honestly, like, I don't play this to be, I'm not playing it to be challenged, to be honest with you. I just want to shoot people in half and explode things for about 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah, and it's the lack of that, that, you know, what you just call it, you know, roguelikes want to sort of give you that longevity while also making it difficult, or not difficult, but give you that like skill thing. And that's where I won't say most of these fail, but that's where the Hades succeeds, is that it struck that balance of you're always learning, you're always, you know, getting better kind of thing. And the treadmill up feels sturdy. It feels weighted in a way that's fair. And this is kind of the exact opposite of that, and where it's the treadmill is extremely fast. You're going to peak very quickly, but it's designed to be that way.
And
that's the difference.
Talking it out, like, it does make it a little less enjoyable, like, overall, you know, like, it's like, even though it's by design, like, I could see a lot of people just being like, well, I just don't like the design, you know?
Yeah, it's a Twitch heavy game, like, in just terms of just like, it's tough, because this was I had someone else play it, and she was like not enjoying it as much, and I just thought it was kind of interesting because she's not somebody who she's not a deeply like skill player, if you know what I mean. Like, she plays for experiences more than skill kind of thing. And the fact that like this game doesn't have a ton of depth was, you think, would like play into that, right? But really what it was is it was such an assault on the senses.
Yeah.
And the mechanics aren't exactly deep that she felt like they just weren't important to use.
Yeah.
So if, like, for instance, you have a, you know, like a melee weapon, and you pick up like a
I do love that sword.
Like that. Yeah. Like the sword and stuff. And then so, but what she was just like, she's just like, I don't understand when I use this and when I don't. Like, why do I use this sometimes and I don't? And it's like, that's a very fair thing. You know, it's just like, because there's not really a great indication of like, why do you want to use the sword and the cleaver over just shooting them kind of thing? And
the short answer to that is cool factor. Like, that's all.
Right. It looks
cool.
That's
literally what it comes down to.
Right.
I use the sword. I love the sword because it's cool to use.
Right. And it's, yeah. And that's, I just thought it was interesting. Like, she wasn't like, this is a bad game, but she's just kind of like, I don't really want to play this anymore. You know, like, this isn't for me. And like, that was maybe eye opening to me, of just where she wasn't wrong, obviously, but also like, I noticed, I was like, this is kind of neat, but like, I don't know that I'm ever going to play this again. You know, like maybe I will to get some. I ended up playing it just to square off some achievements. And I also unfortunately hit a bug that has been patched to where at the very end of the game, like a loading screen doesn't kick in at the very end, and you get stuck in a soft lock essentially. So like, I played it again just to get past that screen. But other than that, it was like a 3-hour experience, which again, that's totally fine. And actually, I like it for that reason. But it's just a very interesting game that I think it makes sense to call out, that sort of like, this is short, it's weird, but it knows it's short and it's weird.
How much was this game off Game Pass?
I want to say 15. Let's take a look. 20. Looks like 20.
I mean, see, that's where it gets iffy, because like for the purpose of this show, I look at a game like this and say this is a perfect Game Pass game. You know, this is a perfect game to add to your collection, because you're not going to, because in between your Avowed or your Atomfall, you may only have like 10 minutes of your day, you know, to get a game in, and this is one of those games for that. Like this, like the in-betweener, if you will. So it's like, it makes sense on that level, but at $20 as a 3-hour game, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think if you're into, like, if you were a person that played games in the 90s and stuff, you're going to get a lot more out of this, just from the aesthetics and sort of the assault on your senses kind of thing. And that's okay, you know. Like if you're not into that, like, it's gonna miss a lot on you. But you could say that probably about a lot of games. Like if you're not into fantasy games, you're not gonna love Skyrim, you
know? Right? Yeah,
that simple kind of thing. That's not the game's fault. It's just not for you, sort of thing. So, but I think this is a little bit more, even more into that, of just like, it's very clearly going for that 90s, you know, look of games and stuff like that. So, and I only have one major gripe with this game, and that is the stupid narrator chick. Holy crap. Like, she does not shut up. Her voice is annoying. And it's nice that there's a mute button on her. And so that means, like, they thought about it, which is fantastic. But, dude, she will not shut up. And it drives me nuts. But other than that, I still had a great time with it. Like, I do not regret playing it in the slightest. It's a game that I think we should definitely pass on because of many different things. Like, even if you don't like it, that's fine, because it's probably going to be because you just don't like the aesthetic. Like, there's nothing wrong with the, quote, game itself. It's an experience more than just like a game that you're going to sit down with and, you know, put some real time and effort into.
And, I'm assuming you played on PC. Did you play on Xbox as well?
I actually only played it on Xbox.
How's the, like, see, so this is a game, like, I did not play on console. So this is one of those games where I'm like, I can't see myself playing this without keyboard and mouse.
I didn't have any problems on that. So like the dash is on the left trigger, which makes it extremely easy to kind of do, because you don't really ever have to go ADS unless you're playing one of like the mini game things. It never crossed my mind that I was having trouble with the controls.
So okay. All right.
I guess the only time I could say that is if in those instances where if I went too far and like I accidentally passed somebody, and I had to make that decision of, do I turn around or do I go forward? Turning around felt like you're not supposed to do this kind of thing.
It's right.
Just, you know, if you missed it, you should keep going, sort of thing. And that to me felt deliberate, but that's the only thing that I can really point to.
Yeah. Playing on PC, I'm just like, I can see myself playing on a controller. And with that said, like if you do play this on PC, I recommend switching your dash key, because on PC, on keyboard, it's the left shift, and I don't know about anybody else, but like my pinky finger was aching. Like it was just always tapping that button the entire time, because you're never not dashing for the most part. So like I actually switched the left shift with the right click, which is your kick button. Because sometimes you use kicks, sometimes you don't, or at least it's way less frequent than dashing.
Yeah, and dashing you can do like a dash kick as well,
exactly
kind of thing. So that makes sense, and that's why it being on the left trigger actually was perfectly fine. So yeah, it's an interesting one to where I wonder if they made it with keyboard or controller in mind first. I'm gonna guess probably keyboard, but.
I was on this controller because it's just uncomfortable. Like honestly, like my pinky finger still hurts. Like it was a problem for me. But then again, like I had terrible hands. Like in carpal tunnel is a thing.
First world problems. Can't press the left shift key to dash. That's
it's hard work out here, man. Being a gamer.
So I think it's fair to say that we're on the same page. Mullet Mad Jack. Check it out. Play it. It's worth a play. If it's for you, you're going to be able to get through it in an afternoon, and that's okay. If it's not, you're not. That's okay. It's fine.
So. Yeah, everything's gonna be okay, guys. If you learn anything from this show, everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah. In terms of the future of this show, we're also gonna be doing another run based game, Balatro. You might have heard about it. It was up for Game of the Year, but it did hit Game Pass recently. But let's go to this text message. And that is going to do it for this episode. Sorry for the abrupt ending, because we kind of just went right into the conversation about AI and Copilot gaming. Again, if you want to listen to that, it's going to be up here in a couple days. As always, thank you for listening. And we ended up recording an episode of Balatro that will be going up soon as well. Thank you. If you would like to write in or send a text message or voicemail, as always, 574-651-9256.